Could we have the passage of Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 be read again? Isaiah chapter 8, verse, not Isaiah, Hosea. They sound so much alike, Isaiah, Hosea. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7.
For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up.
If you are going to title today's lesson, you may title it, What Shall the Harvest Be? What shall the harvest be? If they have sown, if they have planted to the wind, they are going to reap the whirlwind. What shall the harvest be? I must let you know that this lesson was prepared for Watch Night Service gone. That's right. But at the last moment, I decided not to share this lesson then. I felt that I would want more of our members, while quite a lot of the members come out to Watch Night Service, and you'd normally have more visitors then than normal. But I felt that I would deal with something else, as I did on Watch Night Service 2+ months ago, or about 2 months ago, whatever, and share this lesson another time. Now, I had announced on Wednesday night the lesson that was planned for this morning. But, you know, we sometimes put our lessons on the freezers, and they never spoil. The lesson that was planned for today was announced on Wednesday night. And that lesson would deal with another subject, but we will deal with that lesson most likely Sunday coming, if God is willing, and you do not want to miss it. I decided to share this lesson today, What Shall the Harvest Be? If they have sown to the wind, they will reap the whirlwind. The wind, that is, wind, is an emblem of or symbolizes vanity, folly, or instability. That is wind. The whirlwind stands for or symbolizes sudden or unexpected destruction or tragedy. Wherever in the Bible you read about the whirlwind, it stands for some type of tragedy, catastrophe that comes suddenly. In this text, the passage contextually is teaching that in the same way that a gentle wind, yes, a gentle wind in many instances is the precursor of the whirlwind, so also is the foolish and godly policy of Israel, which would lead Israel into terrible disaster. That's the contextual concept here. God was speaking to Israel. That in the same way you feel a little above gentleness of the wind, and that wind would tell you that a stronger wind is on its way. Same way, Israel abandoning God's way and choosing their own way, the Almighty God was teaching Israel that abandoning God's way and following their way will lead to disaster. But the bigger picture here for us and for all men everywhere, Christians and non-Christians, saints and sinners, the world over, the big picture here is the fact of this divine principle of sowing and reaping. Very important. And that's where we will spend some time today on. The Bible speaks a lot about this law, about this principle from God. For example, the Bible places emphasis on not only what we sow, the Bible places emphasis on how we sow. Let us look on the passage. Now, what we sow, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 7, is dealing with the what of our sowing. Are we all there? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 8, also dealing with the what of our sowing. Let us hear it. Proverbs 22, verse 8.
He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity.
You see, this passage is teaching, dealing with what of our soul. Let us look at another passage in Isaiah, chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Let us hear it. Same Isaiah, chapter 10, 12 through 13.
Sow to yourselves in righteousness.
Sow to yourself in righteousness.
Reap in mercy.
Reap in mercy.
Break up your folly ground. For it is time to seek the Lord.
It is time to seek the Lord.
Till he comes and rain righteousness upon you.
Uh-huh.
You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity.
You see, keep in mind the verse the brother is there reading, I think that's verse 13,
yes,
is still on the principle of sowing and reaping. Reread that again, verse 13.
Ye have plowed wickedness.
You plow wickedness.
Ye have reaped iniquity.
You reap iniquity.
Ye have eaten the fruit of lies.
Uh-huh.
Because ye did trust in thy way.
I'm tempted to give you another passage, but as time goes on. What we are dealing with here now is that the Bible deals with the what of our sowing. But the Bible also deals with the how we sow. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Read a little louder or your mic turn up on your mic.
But this I say, he which soweth sparingly,
he who sows sparingly
shall reap also sparingly.
You notice that passage is dealing with how we sow. The previous passages are dealing with what we sow. Whatever we sow, we are going to reap. How we sow going to determine how much we reap. May I? The principle also goes that if you do not sow, you do not reap. That's true. The passage the brother is reading now is underlining that principle. He that sow
sparingly shall reap also sparingly.
And it goes without saying, if you do not sow, you do not reap.
And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
So, brothers and sisters, the principle of sowing and reaping is handed down from the Almighty God himself from the beginning of time. Did you ask that I repeat that? Well, I will, since you asked. The principle of sowing and reaping is handed down from God from the beginning of time. And may I? Sowing here has to do with that which you have spent your time, your effort, talent on in this life. Whatever you consider to be important, whatever is a part of your thinking, your thought process, and thereby become a part of your action, and you spend time on it, make sure that whatever it is right. Because whatever we sow, we are going to reap. It was handed down by God. May I? It is constant. The law or principle of sowing and reaping. It is unfailing. The law of sowing and reaping. It is universal. The law of sowing and reaping. And it affects every human being. No man or woman is exempt from God's law of sowing and reaping. No one can deny the law of sowing and reaping because it affects everyone. And no skeptic or atheist can scoff at it. You know, there are a lot of things that men who refuse to accept the reality which teaches that there is a God, they have a way of laughing at things, mocking it. And you know what the mistake they make, and the mistake that you as Christians sometimes make, is that when they scoff at things or laugh at it, it makes what God says ineffective. Not at all, never. Man's rejection of God's truth and reality does not in any way affect God's truth and reality, but it affects man. It affects when a man or a woman deny, mock, laugh at God's truth, sooner or later that truth affects that person. As I'll be showing further in the lesson. This law of sowing and reaping, it was true in the Garden of Eden. We are there. And it has been true ever since that time. Whatever a man sow is going to reap. It is true for both saints and sinners. It is true both in the physical and in the spiritual realm. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 again.
Be not deceived.
Don't fool yourself.
God is
stop
not.
Stop there a while, brother. Did you know that self-deception is the worst kind of deception? When a person, when outside forces deceive us, we many times recover from that. We discover that the person is deceiving us. But you see, when we deceive our own selves, it's the most difficult form of deception to recover from. And here, the Almighty God in his word telling us, don't fool yourself. Be not deceived.
God is not mocked.
God, wait, do you understand that? You can't make fun or joke of what God says and erase it by your joke or your fun or your rejection. God is not mocked. Speak God.
For whatsoever a man
soweth. Whatsoever a man soweth.
That shall he also reap.
That shall he also reap.
For he that soweth to his flesh.
Shall of the flesh.
Reap corruption.
Reap corruption. But and he that soweth to the spirit.
Shall of the spirit
but
reap.
But Brother Mitchell, it's not so bad, you know. He that soweth to the flesh. Shall of the flesh reap corruption. Brother Mitchell. If I spend all my life, the 20 or the 40 or the 50 or the 60 or 70 or 80 or 100 years that I have here, just working on putting out effort for the physical man, the here and now, the natural man, just satisfying the flesh and forget God, and then I die and rot away. That's not so bad. I would have lived for that 80 or 100 years. You see, when it says reap corruption, it's important that you understand that that doesn't mean you're going to decay. That's not what that word corruption is referring to. In a nutshell, the Greek word pathora literally means being brought into a worse state. That's what the word means. The word translated corruption, pathora. P-A-T-H-O-R-A, pathora. Being brought into a worse state. That is, whatever you suffer in this life, if you reject God, live only for here and now. If all your attention, your effort, your strength, your thought is about the physical man, here and now, the Bible says it doesn't matter how bad things have been in this life, you are going to go to a worse state. That's what the word corruption means. So we must not misunderstand that word. It does not mean that you are going to decay and rot away. It just means your ultimate end will be so much worse than what you have experienced in this life. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you spend all your time, and there are men and women, my God, they get up every day, they go to work, they earn, they inherit, or rather, they benefited from God's blessing, morning, noon, and night. They live to be 15, 20 years old, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. And you know what? While they'll tell you, yes, I believe there is a God, they never take that further. They go on as if God must mind his own business and they will mind theirs. All the evidences that God has given us here that he is and that he is responsible for us being here, it has no bearing upon them. Wait. Some of these people, the moment their head hurt them, they want you to pray for them. But it never dawned on them that they need to investigate the will of God and submit to it. He that soweth to the flesh, when you live just to satisfy the physical man, that is what absorbs all of your attention, all of your effort, all of your energy, all of your thought process. That's where your goals and ambition are directed. When that is the case, the passage is speaking to you. He that soweth to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap the worst form of existence you can ever imagine. But he that soweth to the Spirit
shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to keep this in mind. The lesson found in this passage of Galatians chapter 6 and particularly verse 7 is not only relevant and applicable to all men and women, but it is relevant and it is applicable here, now, and everywhere. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? There was not a time since human existence when this law was not relevant. That we shall reap as we have sown is a divine and it is a universal principle, as I have said. This law, I'm going to show that this law is seen in at least 3 or 4 areas of human existence. One, the law or principle never fails. That we reap what we sow. And this tells us, therefore, we should be careful what we sow. This law is seen first in nature, generally, in nature. You sow corn, yes, corn, without any concern. You don't have to fret and wonder if you will reap prickle or if you will reap poison from the corn that you have planted, because the law of sowing and reaping is constant. It does not fail. You sow corn, you will reap corn. You're not going to reap something else. This law show or assert itself not only in nature, but in our social life. That's right. Literally all adults here know, and if you didn't know, I'm sharing this with you, that where children are not taught to respect authority, they grow up lawbreakers. Where children are not taught the sanctity of life, or as we sometimes say, the sacredness of life, that life is sacred. You cannot create a life. Don't ever think of taking a life. These are some simple things that children, what I'm showing is how the law of sowing and reaping, it affects or demonstrates, manifests itself not only in the wider nature, it manifests itself in our social life. And I'm dealing with the fact that we're children are not taught the sacredness of life, are to respect life, are to acknowledge that life is something which no man can give or make. When children are not taught this, we reap crowded jail. We reap social insecurity. We reap fear. Hearing the news yesterday, Sister Mitchell was sharing with me, and then this morning I heard it on the news. The young lady who cannot be found. I mean, this is sort of an everyday thing now. And I'm almost get mad within myself, truly, that young women, not just young women, almost any female, they go about their business and you have evil people out there that just lurking and watching as these young ladies make themselves a little careless. They go and do the most ungodly thing and they kill them. And just thinking, no, I haven't forgotten what I'm about to say. You know, brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes, bear with me here. I sympathize. There are times when I sympathize with the robot taxi. Are you bearing with me? There are other times when I see the indiscipline on the road. Truly, you know, the police cannot be everywhere all the time. Huh? I'll pass halfway through at the clock there and they are taught. They cannot. You wish that the government would just make the rule and state when you bus driver come, park in line and wait your turn. No, they have to have police there. That demonstrates the indiscipline. And the road, some of these people drive as if the road was made for them alone. And when you read that it is shown that this young lady under consideration went into one taxi because she was partially impaired, I don't know if it's her sight or whatever. And my God, why? It doesn't matter how uncouth, if you come from the deepest jungle, protect her. The wickedness. As I've said, just thinking about the evil that goes on in our society makes me mad. Remember where we are. We are looking on the fact that we are going to reap what we sow. And you know, brothers and sisters, thank God for that law. Thank God for it. As I've said, this law shows and asserts itself in our social life. Where we fail to instill in children The fact that life is sacred, it is from God. The fact that there is sanctity to human life. Where we fail to do this, we live in fear. Where we fail to teach children respect authority, the police is not your enemy. Teach the children that had it not been for the police, then the man with the biggest gun could come and take away whatever you have and you have to keep quiet. Sometimes you have to go to extreme to show the children the important role that police, soldiers, etc. play. Or else they grow up thinking the police is their enemy. just within the past week, I was going about my business and there was a police car before me, but the police is about his business and I was about my business. And I had to overtake the police. So one of my children was in the car with me. I won't tell you who. And the person said, "Daddy, I never overtake a police car." I said, "Well, you're afraid of the police. I don't have any reason to be afraid of the police. Truly. Now, if I am going over the speed limit, then that's a different case. I am afraid then because I know the police would give me a ticket, and rightly so. They are here to protect us." Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. Still under reaping and sowing. Galatians, we were in Galatians chapter 6 just now. We're at chapter 5 now.
But if ye bite and devour one another.
If you bite
and devour
one another.
Take heed. That ye be not consumed one of another.
That you do not destroy one another and destroy yourself in the process. Brother Mitchell, what is the passage talking about? Read it again, brother.
But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed.
Did you know that this passage is about the poison tongue? Did you know that the passage is about the way we use our mouth and our tongue? And that if we use it to bite one another and devour one another, that is speaking evil of one another. Are we all there? The same tongue, the same mouth we use to try to destroy others will destroy us. The law of sowing and reaping, it is constant and it never fails. This law is visible not only in nature, not only in our social life, the law is visible in culture and in training of the mind. Especially children and teens. Teach your children the benefits, the joy, and the fulfillment in working honestly for whatever they want. As you try to inspire your children, let them know that whatever they want in life, if they apply themselves, work hard, get what they can in their head. No simple lesson like that. They can and will achieve whatever they want in life. Huh? if they work honestly for whatever they aspire to. When we do that, society will reap hardworking, successful, and a honest generation. Teach your children or show them that brain working will do the job. And you know what Jamaican mean by brain working. Teach them that. Or pass that on to them. Just work brain. Tell a little lie here to find a shortcut and to find easy way to get what you want. And society will reap dishonest, unreliable, lazy men and women. What is the lesson? What shall the harvest be? And finally, as we come down to some last point, the law of sowing and reaping never fail in the spiritual and moral aspect of life. I've shown that it never fails in nature. I have shown that it never fails in our social life. I have shown that it never fails in culture. And we are at the final point, that it never fails in the spiritual and moral aspect of life. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8, which we have read, is largely about the spiritual aspect of life, the moral aspect of life. Let us hear the passage again. Verse 7 and 8.
Be not deceived.
Don't fool yourself.
Mm-hmm. God is not mocked.
You can't.
For whatsoever
laugh at or reject what God says and believe that will erase what God says. Whatever a man sows,
that shall he also reap.
Are we all there? Look at Job chapter 4 and verse 8. Job chapter 4 and verse 8.
Even as I have seen, they have plowed iniquity, and so wickedness reap the same.
Did you hear that? Job is not talking from what someone told him, or the writer here, or speaker in Job. The character here is saying, this is what I have seen. That's experience. What has he seen?
That they that plow iniquity.
They who plow iniquity.
And sow wickedness.
And sow wickedness.
Reap the same.
They are going to reap the same. Are we all here? Haman. I'm running down a few lists now as I wrap up, but listen carefully. Haman plotted against Mordecai and the Jews to destroy the Israelites, to wipe them out. The entire book of Esther is about this major aspect of the book, the wickedness of Haman. Run with me quick, brother. I did not intend to even read anything from it because I want to wrap up. Chapter 5, quick. And chapter 7, quick. Chapter 5, verse 13 and 14.
Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting.
Years ago I was told by John R. Flowers, one of the most well-read elders I have ever met. He has been a great influence in my life in many ways. No relationship to Brother Flowers, who preached in our meeting. Yet he taught Brother Flowers hermeneutics. That's right. But years ago, I heard him say that envy is one of the most anti-God sin there is. At that time, I didn't necessarily share the view, but as I study Old and New Testament on the subject of envy, I realized that even the Bible speaks of envy as a loaded sin. In other words, envy always carry other sin with it. When I am envious against you, I'm going to hate you. I'm going to want to speak bad about you. I'm going to want to do you wrong. I'm going to misrepresent you. Envy carry all those sin. Where are we, brother, in the book of Esther chapter 5? Aren't we? Read the verse.
Yet all this availeth me nothing.
Wait. Haman was blessed. The king gave him this, that, and whatever. And he said, all this doesn't mean much to me. You know why? He hated Mordecai so much. Can you believe it? Read on quick, brother.
So long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate.
Just because Mordecai has a good position. Do you know that we act like that sometimes? Read on, brother.
Then said Zeresh, his wife.
Now, oh, Lord of mercy. Ladies, sisters, wives, have an independent mind. Not independent mind where you're always playing tug of war with your husband. Huh? But have an independent mind so that when he is off track, you can, with the right attitude, show him that he's off track. Amen. You do not have to agree with him, or he agrees with you when you're off track. Here is a man boiling up with envy. Terrible. Unfortunately, he didn't have a wife to say, honey, let Mordecai do his work. He doesn't affect us in any way. Listen to her advice.
His wife and all his friends unto him.
Mm-hmm.
Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high.
You hear who they are? Their suggestion? Build a gallows. You know what that is used for? To hang people. Read, brother.
And tomorrow, speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon.
Mordecai has done the man nothing evil. And his wife is suggesting that he build a gallows to hang Mordecai. Huh? What are you preaching, Brother Mitchell? What shall the harvest be? When you plant, always remember that you are going to reap what you plant. Here is a man building a gallows at the suggestion of his wife for a man who has done him no wrong. Step down, brother. Run with me to chapter 7, 5 following. Quick.
Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so?
Mm-hmm.
And Esther said,
Haman finally setting his trap for Mordecai. It reached a point where he become almost forward, as country people would say, with the queen, Esther. And the queen reported to the king. Read.
And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman.
Mm-hmm.
Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of the wine of his wrath, went into the palace garden.
The king was partially drunk, and then he got vexed. An intoxicated man that is vexed, beware. Read, brother, quick.
And Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther, the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king.
By the king. The very Esther that he didn't like the Jews, you know. That's racism. And that's why he wanted to destroy Mordecai. That's why the gallows was built. Read, brother, quick.
Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbonath, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai.
Who built the gallows, brother?
Haman.
Read.
Made for Mordecai, who had spoken good of the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said,
Wait, you understand this? Behold, the gallows built by Haman is still right there on Haman's property. The gallows was built for the Jew Mordecai. Read.
Then said the king, hang him thereon.
Your country people have a word of say, when you dig one hole for your enemy, dig one for yourself. And this principle we see placed here by God, that what we sow, we reap. We must never forget it. It is constant. With the Christian, with the non-Christian, with the saints, with the sinners. We sow evil, we reap evil. The gallows was built by Haman for a person who did him no evil. Haman himself ended up being hung on the gallows. Daniel's enemy were themselves cast into the lion's den that they meant for Daniel. Are we all there? May I? America sowed the seed of slavery. Are we all there? They reap the whirlwind of a civil war. That's right. This civil war that destroys so many American lives came about because of slavery, which was an evil against another people. But out of that slavery came the civil war. We always reap what we sow. Are we all there? The sons of Jacob sold Joseph, a slave in Egypt. They themselves became slaves in the same land years after. Are we all there? The last passage, Psalms 141 and verse 10. What shall the harvest be? Let us hear that passage. Psalms 141 and verse 10.
Let the wicked fall into their own net, whilst that I withal escape.
Let the wicked fall into their own nest, If we sow wickedness, we reap wickedness.
Amen.
If we sow goodness and righteousness and love, we reap that. But remember, the law of sowing and reaping, it is constant. It is unfailing. It works in the life of the Christian and the non-Christian. It works constantly for or against the saints and for or against the sinner. Therefore, let us be careful what we sow. And as I end with the thought from Galatians chapter 6, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. The man who sows spends all his time, his thought, his effort, his ambition, his goal, objective, on the physical man here and now, with no concern for hereafter, no concern for the Almighty God. The Bible says all that you are going to ultimately reap is a worse state of life. And that does not fail. Whatsoever we sow, we are going to reap. No man ever make that law fail, because God make it to be unfailing, to be constant, and to be universal. If you are here today, you can begin to sow that which is right by becoming obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hearing his word, believing that when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, he went there for your sin. And that believing, you will see the need to repent of your sin. Repenting of your sin, you will see the need to get baptized after confessing Jesus' name. You can begin sowing righteousness in Christ today. And then you will be on your way to reaping eternal life, accompanied with fellowship with God. Right now you can do that. And if you're a child of God who has strayed, backslide, you have grown weak, no better time than now to come and recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Remember, we must reap what we have sown. So now, obedience, and reap the grace and the blessing of God as we stand. 527.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of